Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on February 27th. Coming up today, jail for a sitting-born man who admitted manslaughter, a community banding together to save a school, and the Jills make the long trip north for the latest League 2 clash. All of that and plenty more on the way. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. The family of a young restaurant manager from Medway have paid tribute, saying the inspiring 26-year-old died far too young. Charlotte Redsell worked at Fish at 55 in Rochester High Street but died last October. Lucy has some more details for the podcast and she's with me now. First of all, Lucy, this is a really sad story. Can you tell us a little bit about Charlotte and how she came to be such a well-loved member of the community?
Well, as you say, Charlotte was a very well-respected manager of Fish at 55 in Rochester High Street, but she'd worked in restaurants and eateries across the county, including in Tunbridge Wells, at Frampton's in the Pantiles, and at Coast to Coast, the American diner at Medway Valley Park. She'd managed to work her way up to management from floor staff, and it was her dream one day to open her own coffee shop.
But after speaking to her brother Stephen, Kent Online discovered she'd had quite a traumatic upbringing and was battling with her past.
That's right. Charlotte and her three siblings lost their mother at a young age and their father died during COVID. Her older brother Stephen said none of the family received any sort of counselling or therapy. He also says Charlotte was very private about her emotions and struggled with alcohol problems. Sadly, we know Charlotte took her own life last October after sending final messages to her friends and family.
Her death has had quite a big impact on the community. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the day after she died, Fish at 55 was closed as a mark of respect. Floral tributes and candles from well-wishers, including neighbouring traders, were left outside, creating a touching shrine. For Stephen, Charlotte's passing has inspired him, as well as their other brother Peter and family friend Rachel, to take on the Three Peaks Challenge. They're raising money for mental health charity Mind and say no one should suffer in silence.
Thanks, Lucy. If you've been affected by anything in this story or need someone to talk to, you can contact the Samaritans on 116 123.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, a man's been seriously injured after a ladder fell from a lorry in Folkestone. Police had to close the A259 Churchill Avenue at around midday yesterday. Some of his injuries were to his face. He was taken to the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford for treatment. A man who caused the death of a 32-year-old in Sittingbourne by chasing him into traffic has been jailed for 16 years. Chris McLean was armed with a machete-style blade when he ran after Jay Garrett following a drugs deal last August. During an interview, the 34-year-old from Pembury Court tried to claim he was at home. Investigators have released the audio.
And you're accusing me of murder when I haven't no one. So I'd like to know, and you've got no evidence on me whatsoever apart from there. You've got nothing. You've got no evidence of suggesting I've done anything. Okay? I've done nothing. I'm innocent. It's nothing to do with me. I was at home minding my own business. Okay? On my own. Hence why all the Chinese, I wanted to stay in and chill and have a good, quiet night in. That's all I wanted to do. And that's all I was doing. If you have any more than what you showed me, then charge me. If not, let me go home.
He was due to go on trial this week, accused of murder, but admitted manslaughter, which was accepted by prosecutors.
Kent Online News.
A Thanet man accused of historic sex offences has died before going on trial. Brian Skipper from Seacroft Road in the town had appeared at Folkestone magistrates accused of 11 offences and was due to appear at Crown Court in May. The 80-year-old passed away last November. The family of his alleged victim have criticised the current court backlog. Details have emerged of how a burglar who broke into a family home on Christmas Day was caught after police tracked AirPods he'd stolen. Anthony Allen targeted a property in Ashford while the owners were away visiting family. The 47-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, was found hiding in a loft in Stanhope. He's been jailed for 2 years and 4 months. Now, parents and community members are staging a protest later about the closure of a school in Ramsgate. A letter was sent out on Tuesday saying St Lawrence College, which has 500 pupils, would be merging with Dover College. Laura Holden has a child at the nursery and they were preparing to move up into reception. She and I were able to speak ahead of the demonstration.
On Tuesday morning, the parents of St Lawrence College received an email from the governing body, and it outlined that a merger was to be taking place between St Lawrence College and Dover College, which of course is a relative distance from, you know, St Lawrence College, which is based in Ramsgate. We were told in no uncertain terms that this was just going ahead and that we would all just have to enrol in Dover College if we wanted to remain with what will be the new merged school, which is St Lawrence College, Dover College, I believe. And not only that, the teachers were informed on the same morning, just before classes started. So, you know, 30 minutes or so before the school day started, they were informed that essentially they were out of jobs. They were told that they will be able to reapply for roles at Dover College, but when they asked questions about that and whether they thought it, whether the management thought it was actually feasible for all the students to be moving over and whether they expected that to be the case, they were told that no, not really. Which means, you know, that it seems highly unlikely there would be jobs for them at a school that already has a full complement of teachers. And yeah, I mean, we were all just incredibly shocked by the news. There's been absolutely no consultation with the wider student body, with the community at St. Lawrence. And yeah, it came as a huge shock, honestly.
And as a parent, you mentioned you have a child that currently attends. So what kind of situation does this leave you in now? I'm assuming it's too late to try and find enrolment in other places. You've sort of left with the decision whether or not you are going to take the enrolment with Dover College. Where does that leave you?
Absolutely. At this point in the year, in February, the deadline for applications for primary schools has passed. In addition to which, that's just our situation as our child is currently in the nursery and ready to move up to reception. But of course, this also applies to high school leavers, some of whom have turned down scholarships and things at other institutions. They've turned down places at other institutions, and also those going into sixth form too. So there's obviously those three big shifts. But of course, it affects every single year group because there are people who are studying for their GCSEs right now who, you know, the situation is extremely unclear as to what's going to happen. You know, even with feedback and clearing and marking and all of the exam things, it leaves a lot of people in just a really anxious situation around their children's education. And not only that, it's not just a place of education. It's a real vital facility for the area because, as you know, Ramsgate and Thanet, in a more wider sense, doesn't have a lot of facilities, and St. Lawrence is very open with the community. And there are a number, I think it's maybe 30 plus outside societies and clubs that actually use the facilities and the grounds for so many different things like sports clubs, theatre clubs. They host foreign language students over the summer holidays, all sorts of things like that. So it really is a loss of an institution, one that's been around for almost 150 years. And on top of that, it's a huge employer of the area. You know, there's more than 200 staff at St. Lawrence College. So, you know, what an enormous loss to the area, both, you know, structurally, educationally, and a historic building too.
The protest is being held at the college at 3:30 this afternoon.
Kent Online News.
Six immigration officers have pleaded not guilty to charges including money laundering and conspiracy to steal from asylum seekers arriving in Dover on small boats. Five are also accused of misconduct in public office. They've been released on bail with a trial not scheduled until January 2028. A Chatham company that supported people with autism and learning disabilities has been banned from operating. The watchdog's been investigating Bright Brains Global Limited following concerns patients weren't being treated with dignity and respect. They've now had their registration removed, meaning they can no longer offer care. A Kent dad who suffered a cardiac arrest at the age of 36 has been telling us how it served as a wake-up call to change his lifestyle. Joe Carver, who's a window cleaner from Beaksbourne, was working at a pub in Bridge near Canterbury when he collapsed last November. Lucy's been hearing more about his experience.
I didn't even know what a cardiac arrest was. It's different to a heart attack. I didn't have any warning signs on the day. I've collapsed and I was dead, basically. I was found by the owner of the pub, Rene, and he performed CPR on me almost instantly, which I'm told by everyone, all the consultants and all the doctors that contributed to saving my life, basically. 8 minutes later, the ambulance turned up and they had a Lucas machine, which is a new machine, basically like a defib, but meant to be a super duper one by all accounts. They performed that on me instantly, straight away. I was rushed to William Harvey Hospital. I had a stent put in almost instantly, I'm led to believe. I was out for 38 minutes. My heart stopped 9 times in 38 minutes. And yeah, basically woke up in a coma a couple of days later. And since then, I'm defying all re everything that's thrown at me. I'm doing really well.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your recovery because it must have been scary at first to kind of, just be active again, walking around, worrying about whether it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. Hospital, the team I had in hospital were fantastic. I can't fault them. They were brilliant. I'm on a hell of a lot of tablets now. I'm on 16 tablets a day. When I left hospital, I was scared. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't know what to expect. I was scared to go out on my own because I didn't know if it was gonna happen again. I wasn't sure. It was a big. I thought, like, how am I gonna go back into the big bad world, if you want to put it like that? What happens now? Then I'm bumped in, not bumped into. I received a letter from the NHS and all the team saying something about cardiac rehab. So I was encouraged to go there by family, siblings, and they've been brilliant. They're like magicians, them lot. So there's a team I'm under. I've done a 12-week course twice a day, basically bringing me. Mending me back to going back to in the big bad world, basically. Under their supervision, I get monitored, my heart rate gets monitored, and they put me through my paces, basically like circuit training. And the circuit training's great. And they get your heart rate up and see how quick your heart recovers. And they are monitored like you would not believe. And the nurse says she's brilliant. And it's just a brilliant thing. And not only has it got me fitter, I feel back to me again, really, and it's all down to them. They've basically contributed to saving my life.
That's amazing, and as you say, it's the confidence as well, isn't it? And I understand you've made some lifestyle changes as well since all this has happened. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Well, yeah, I didn't lead a great lifestyle before, probably a bit of an unhealthy lifestyle, but however, now it's completely changed, flipped upside down. I'm not going to use, well, not boring, but it's a simple lifestyle, exercise and everything in moderation. I eat healthy, I exercise, and I'm getting back to the old Joe, life and soul of things. And it's all down to, my family, all the good people I've got around me. I've got two beautiful kids that make it all worthwhile.
He wants to give a special shout out to the whole cardiac rehab team at the Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust for helping to turn his life around.
Kent Online News.
A disused railworks in Ashford that had been earmarked for film studios is set to be turned into flats. It was initially hoped Netflix would move into facilities at the Newtown site, but that idea was dropped last year. Plans have now been submitted to build almost 800 apartments and more than 20 townhouses. The head teacher of a Kent school, among the first to undergo the new Ofsted inspection, says the changes make the system fairer and more transparent. The revised framework replaces single word judgments with a more detailed breakdown across a school's performance in seven areas. Copperfield Academy in Northfleet was visited by the watchdog in December and scored well. Head Ben Clark says parents are now offered more information and it's a fair reflection of what's happening in the school. Plans to create holiday lets at Buell Water have been rejected. Bosses at the reservoir near Lamberhurst wanted to convert the boathouse house bistro into 11 apartments. A council committee's turned down the scheme because of concerns about light pollution in the High Weald National Landscape. Now, an animal sanctuary in Kent says access to human-grade technology is allowing them to provide better care. In November, a mobile CT scanner visited the big cat sanctuary in Smarden near Ashford to follow up with a tiger, cheetah and leopard with mobility issues. Bryony Smith is part of the team looking after them. She's been telling me about the difference it's made to their treatment.
We had done x-rays on many of these cats before to try and get to the bottom of it, but certainly if you are not finding any of the results that sort of explain some of these mobility issues, the next step is CT scanning, which just gives you so much more information on what's going on. So you sort of end up, you know, finding every little last detail about certainly skeletal issues that are going on. And we really did find out a lot, and we found a lot that explained what we were seeing, certainly in two of them. So with Mo, he does have some arthritis, which is explaining what we're seeing, which is on-off lameness in his forelegs. Luca as well, he's got some reduced space between his vertebra and also a couple of chips of bone in one of his elbows. So again, that explains what we're seeing. Django, actually, his scan moved on to us doing further investigation, which has then led on to, you know, additional tests and ultrasounds and things like that. So Django wasn't quite as straightforward. But what it does is allow us then to really get to the bottom of their problems. And alongside our veterinary team and the cat team looking after the animals day to day, we're able then to come up with the best plan for their care moving forward.
And that's incredible. And I believe in I think it is at Django's case, it potentially life-threatening interventions you're able to make now because of the results of the CT scanner.
Yeah, so as a knock-on, and as a knock-on of the further investigations, we actually had Django looked into again under ultrasound on a separate day as almost sheer fluke, but sort of as a knock-on of the CT scan. We happened to have a reproductive health specialist with us who was then looking at all the things that reproductive health specialists look at. And we've actually found a mass in one of his testicles, which is something that we will need to look at getting removed and, you know, finding out what that mass is and whether it's problematic, whether it is benign or not. And so we don't know, you know, exactly what the knock-on effects of that further down the line will be, but it's certainly, you know, through a happy accident sort of knocked on to us being able to find out something that we really do have to deal with Django, yeah.
Kent Online News.
Planning permission's been granted to restore Bradbourne Lakes in Sevenoaks. Bosses wanted to improve the site's ecological health, accessibility and historic features. Work will include draining the lakes and removing silt, as well as repairing banks and installing a new play area. A painting by Sir Winston Churchill is expected to go on display for the first time in the UK at his former family home in Kent. Quiet Water will be the centrepiece of a new exhibition at Chartwell near Westrum, which opens tomorrow. Less than a year after leaving school, a Kent teenager is running her own business. Former Maidstone Girls Grammar School pupil Daisy Webb decided university was not for her and instead fell in love with the hospitality industry. She's taken over the site of the former Riverside Kitchen in Wateringbury, close to the River Medway and the village's railway station. It's now called The Boat and Bean Cafe Bar. Daisy's been speaking to reporter Alan Smith about her vision for the future.
Our plan for this place is to be an early morning coffee bar with brunches and lots of snacks and cakes, and in the evening we'd like to be an early evening bar with some nibbles and some drinks. You can sit by the river and enjoy a nice cheese board and a glass of wine. We are hoping to be open on the 7th of March. We're going to do a big opening party with a live band. We want to make a community. I'd love for people to come in, feel welcome, everyone can talk to each other. We'd also love to host open mic nights, quiz nights, and have lots of events going on here. I want to bring that community feel together. As it's a village, it's quite a small village, I think it's missing something, and I really want to fill that gap.
Toy company Hornby Hobbies has announced it's selling the brand Scalextric in a £20 million deal. It's been part of their portfolio since 1968. Hornby, which is based in Margate, will use the money to reduce debt and invest in its other brands. And the visitor centre at Seven Oaks Wildlife Reserve has reopened following a £2 million revamp. The cafe's been upgraded, and there's a new deck area overlooking West Lake. Parking has also been improved with EV chargers and solar panels on the building's roof. The site will act as a community hub, hosting school visits, workshops and family activities.
Kent Online Sport.
Football now, and it's a long trip north for Gillingham this weekend. They head to Barrow in League 2, looking to bounce back from a disappointing 3-0 defeat last time out. The Gills have actually only managed one win in their last six games and dropped to 16th in the table. Defender Robbie McKenzie has been chatting to the club's media team.
We felt the disappointment after the game. We knew we were at our levels and we let ourselves down a little bit in that term, in that sort of way. But we know we've set our levels higher than what they were on Saturday, and Saturday wasn't good enough. We pulled our hands up and got to put it right this Saturday.
As one of the more experienced members of the camp, when you're going through a tricky spell, what is the key to getting over that?
Just got to stick together, the full club. Everyone's got to be pulling in the right direction. And I feel like this week we've had a good training sessions and it's gone well, and hopefully we can carry that into Saturday.
I know you appreciate the efforts of the fans. I know they weren't overly happy following the full-time whistle on Saturday. How determined is the group to give them a performance and a result?
No, we understand their frustrations. We're frustrated ourselves in our performance, and obviously they're frustrated as well. So we feel that. We feel we need to put it right, and we need to do something where we can repair that back to the fans with a good performance and hopefully pick up 3 points on Saturday.
The game's against Barrow, of course. They're down towards the bottom of the table. They're fighting for their lives. How tricky is this game at this point of the season? Those are perhaps the teams that offer a banana skin.
No, it's going to be a tough game there at the bottom, fighting for their lives. So, yeah, we've got to expect everything and we've got to be prepared for that. But we've got to go there and want to win more than what they want to win, and hopefully bring the 3 points back.
And what's the mood like in the camp finally? Is it as positive as it could be?
Yeah, the mood's positive. We know we weren't good enough and we've got to put that behind us now and put things right. So we're all pulling in the right direction and hopefully it all comes together Saturday.
Staying with football, and it's a huge weekend for Punjab United, who are playing in the quarterfinals of the FA Vase. The Kent side are just 2 wins away from a Wembley final. They'll be welcoming Downton FC to their home ground in Gravesend tomorrow. Nicola's been chatting to chairman and manager Chippy Cyan.
Everyone's looking forward to it now. I said I was trying to play it down over the last few weeks. Can we keep winning then, and we still have a big games coming up thick and fast? So but now I think everyone's now excited about this. So everywhere we go in Gravesend, everyone's talking about it. Even when you're meeting people in town, you know, I was with my wife in Bournemouth the other day and with people stopping again, I'll be there Saturday, can't wait to see it. And yeah, this, hopefully, fingers crossed, we can perform, you know, another good performance and see if we can get through.
And how have you found the competition? Because it's an amazing competition. How have you found it this season?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think the more and more, I think we started from the beginning. I think we're only two clubs left. I think one more left who actually started in the extra preliminary round. So we've already played 7 or 8 games to get to where we are. It's just been ticking off every game one by one. So when you're so far off, you don't really think about anything, do you, really? Just ticking off the games. But listen, for 600 and something teams to go all over the country to get down to the last day, you know, for a club like us, or a local, you know, a community club, to be in there, I think we're probably the first Asian team to ever get this far as well. So, you know, it's a big thing for everyone in Gravesend, especially the Sikh community, because we're all football people. We love football and, you know, we're Sikh owned. And but yeah, our team's multicultural, everyone's mixed in. And yeah, it's one of those dream moments, really, that if we can get through to a semi, it'll be a dream come true, really.
And if you've been inspired by the Winter Olympics, there'll be free entry to an ice hockey game in Kent this weekend. The women's team, Invicta Dynamics, will be playing Milton Keynes Falcons at Planet Ice in Gillingham on Saturday evening. Last week, they beat Cambridge Kodiaks 21. Face-off tomorrow is at 6:30. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.